The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests and hosts are not necessarily those of Muscular Development Magazine, Advanced Research Press, or Noble Radio, or their respective management, employees, or representatives. Nothing stated or presented on Noble Radio is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions regarding your medical condition, your diet, nutritional supplements, and exercise regimen, or any other matter related to your health and well-being. The supplements mentioned on Noble Radio and any information and statements stated regarding those supplements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition.
MuscularDevelopment.com is proud to welcome you to No Bull Radio, featuring the Muscle Mob, John Romano, and Dave Palumbo.
Hey, what are you stupid? It's a crowd out there!
In the next 2 hours, the Muscle Mob and their guests bring you the latest from the world of bodybuilding, direct from industry insiders, top amateurs, and the pros themselves. This is No Bull Radio. Here's John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of No Bull Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Welcome to another two-hour episode of No Bull Radio with the Muscle Mob. My name's Dave Palumbo, editor-in-chief of MuscularDevelopment.com, and I'm joined, as always, by my fellow mobster, John Romano, senior editor of Muscular Development Magazine. Well, John, summer is officially over, and autumn has arrived, and it is Olympia week here on No Bull Radio. Sounds good.
Yeah, except for that disclaimer is still bad.
I can't believe you said that. I cannot believe you said that. We've been really psychically linked today. I know that sounds kind of corny, but all day we've been doing this. I was just going to say, Jeff sounds like an absolute raving maniac reading that disclaimer, doesn't he?
I mean, Crazy Eddie could take lessons from him. That's like insane.
How do you? You know. I tried to cut it down, and I think I shaved like 5 seconds off of it. But you know,
yeah.
Don't you remember those old commercials with that guy with the micro machines, and he would talk really fast to the commercial? That's what I was trying to do.
Dude, you reduced the disclaimer to one word.
Well, you know, if I can get it down to one word,
the longest word in history. Our disclaimer is one word.
That was, yeah, we definitely have the longest disclaimer of any show in the history of radio, but Jeff has managed to save 5 seconds off of it, so I guess we have that much more time to give Pelleccia at the end of the show.
Yeah, but we got to tell Pelleccia, he'll be so happy.
So thank you for that, Jeff.
Yeah, well, Jeff, that was good, man.
No, we were on a conference call the other day, and a lot of people were asking what the screaming was in my house, John. And I got to tell you, you know, Colette has that little SLK 55 Mercedes, and it's the same car Flex Wheeler has, actually. And I think she drives it pretty much as crazy as he does.
Well, smoke burnouts and all that.
The people at the body shop know her on like an intimate level. She's there so much. Like, I think she has her own like file there in the file cabinet. But she backed it into a ditch. They were doing construction outside the house the other day, and she backed it into a ditch, like at least 3 feet deep. Now, in defense of her, they really shouldn't be leaving holes in the ground when they go to lunch. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and not defense of her, you know, she should have seen the hole, I think. But so, you know, we're on this conference call, and there's, like, mad screaming in my house, like someone's getting killed. And that was the reason. I thought I'd clarify that for all our listeners out there.
It's funny, speaking of, since we're so psychically linked today, I had my own car conference call debacle today to talk about. You know, I only have a one-car garage, and I have, like, you know, two cars, but one goes my car in the garage, and I got my truck in the driveway behind the gate. So it was a beautiful day this morning. I wanted to drive the car to the gym, you know. So I'm on the one conference call. I got you on one line. I'm banging on the other line with, you know, waiting to talk to, you know, the boss. We got all this, you know, Olympia stuff going on. I'm, you know, half out of my mind with that. I'm trying to get to the gym. I back the Range Rover out and park it on the street, and I go in the garage to get my car, and I leave and I go to the gym. Now, I get back from the gym, and I look at the truck on the side of the road, and I realize, what the fuck? I actually left the truck running with the keys in it, the door open, the whole 2 hours I was gone at the gym. I was so preoccupied with all those calls this morning. Anybody could have just driven off in it.
Not where you live. Jeff, what would they have done in your neighborhood with that thing?
Kenny, nothing wrong with my neighborhood, okay? I live in a nice Italian, bachelor's neighborhood. No, everything's cool.
That's where they go and steal the cars from, the nice neighborhoods in the Bronx,
right.
Not the bad neighborhoods.
You know, the funny thing is that there's a little school across the street from my house, and there's a break in there like once a week, you know, a bash and grab. You know, they smash the window, grab the purse, and run.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we have, you know, a lot of patrols, and it's a nice neighborhood, but, you know, a lot of patrols and whatnot. I had the garage door open, the Range Rover sitting on the side of the road with the keys in it, the engine running, the doors open, and I'm gone for 2 solid hours in the middle of the day. I come back, and, you know, it's still there.
Well, I guess you weren't getting ready. You probably wanted it to be stolen. That's why you
actually,
left.
I wouldn't have minded, to be honest with you. Get rid of that thing.
You know what happens, though? They always take it for a joyride, they ruin it, and then they wind up finding it anyway, and you get a crappy car back. So.
And they give it back to you, right.
Yeah. Well, of course, as always, John, this hour of Noble Radio is sponsored by Scott Conley's new company, Progenix. ProgenixSRG.com is the website. I know you've been using the product now, I think, for, I believe, 4 weeks. I've been on it for about almost 8 weeks now. And what do you got to report?
I'm drinking it right now.
Really?
And I got to tell you, the first day I tasted it, I did not like the taste, and I made that clear. But, you know, I've been mixing the two together, and I put 4 packets of Equal in there. And I'm telling you, I like the taste of it now. I don't want them to flavor it. I like the taste of those two different, the two different ones put together. As long as if you put the Equal in it, it's awesome. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'll tell you what I found is that when I'm really hungry right after the gym, the stuff tastes good. If I try to like drink it like when I'm not really hungry and I'm just trying to jam an extra meal in, I can't stomach it. I taste the taste. But when you're hungry, it's like, you know how like Gatorade tastes terrible when you're not thirsty. But if you're really thirsty and you've lost a lot of electrolytes, when you drink that stuff, it tastes like juice almost.
I don't know. I don't drink Gatorade. But what I've noticed, you know, when you get on juice, okay, and like you're waiting for that, you know, your first few shots, your first couple weeks, you're waiting. You always know when it kicks in because your strength. You get that sort of instantaneous increase in strength. Where almost the weight, it almost feels like your arms, your legs are like hydraulic. The way the weight goes up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was training legs today, and I know I'm a day off. I took the whole weekend off. I was a little bit extra rested. I'm training legs today, which I normally would train on either Saturday or Sunday. I'm doing leg presses, and I keep putting the plates on, and I'm thinking, when am I going to start fatiguing here? And every set, especially as I got up into the upper range, when there was a lot of weight on the sled, that thing was just going up and down like. I couldn't believe how much sort of just added power I had to my lifts all day today with everything I lifted.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if I can attribute it, you know, exactly to that, but honestly, the Progenix is the only thing I'm doing differently than anything I've been doing for the last, you know, 6 months.
Well, I'll tell you what I noticed is that I was using the shakes, but I wasn't using the pills. Because I'm lazy when it comes to taking pills. You know, I take my fats, my joint stuff, and I just didn't want to take another 3 pills. And I really didn't take any credence. When Scott came on here last week and was telling us about how the pills increase strength, I started taking them last week. And within 1 week, I definitely noticed my strength went up. So I don't know if it's your strength may be going up from the pills.
Well, yeah, cool. It's 4 pills, not 3. And I have been taking them all along. I've been religiously following.
Oh, so maybe that could be it.
I don't know, man, but it was like... It was that same hydraulic feeling like when the DECA kicks in. It was really noticeable, you know? I mean, we have a couple threads up on the board about the Progenix.
Yeah,
you know?
People always like it.
There's always doubters in every group, but I got it. I mean, I'm not just saying this because he's a sponsor, but, you know, I'm very, very impressed with the noticeable difference that this product makes. It really does.
We got to thank Connolly for that, and you know, hopefully more people will test it out and get the same results. I don't want to waste any more time on this because we got a lot to cover, John. We have a great show tonight. We got Sean Ray on, who's doing the Olympia Week preview. He's going to break down all the competitors, tell us a few funny stories. We got the one and only Charlie Arms on the show. I know you met him. Got to intimately meet him and talk to him a little bit this past 2 weeks ago at the Atlantic City Pro Show. He's quite a character. I think people are going to really like him. We have some in the trenches of him training up on the site and that people can check out. The guy's pretty amazing. And we also have Diana Cadeau, our old friend, the self-proclaimed, or the girl we proclaim as the prettiest woman bodybuilder in the industry. She likes that title. We've got her on. She's going to give us her updates on her Olympia prep and what's going on with her and Kai. But before we get to that, we got some news to talk about. Mr. Engineer, roll the clip.
All right, guys, listen up. You want the inside scoop? You want to know what's going on? Then you better keep it right here, because it's time for the news on No Bull Radio with the Muscle Mob.
All right, well, I guess the top news story of the day has to be the guest we almost had on the radio show this week, but didn't quite get it. We were supposed to have King Kamali on the radio show, and for any of you listeners out there who haven't been following the drama that's been ensuing ever since the Atlantic City Pro Show ended, John had been very critical of King Kamali, and I think he was getting a little pissed off, so I invited him to come on the radio show and debate John about his sixth-place finish at the Atlantic City. He instead wanted to, quote, end your career, John, and this whole thing kind of mushroomed and ballooned, and threats were made, and it seems like you were the last man standing, John.
Well,
he backed out.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because we've given him enough celebrity to last a lifetime, and I hope this can be it. But yet, not only did he vow to end my career, but he also lied and said that he spoke to my ex-wife and that he had all this dirt on me. And, you know, I'm thinking, I was married to her for 9 years. I mean, I've been going through a custody battle and divorce with her for three of them. What dirt could he possibly have on me that isn't already been aired, you know? So, no, I called his bluff, and, a very famous attorney once told me, be careful what you wish for. And it seems as though the only career that got ended was Kamali's, because this is probably it for him.
Well, you know, he also made a statement that he thought he was backstage at the show, that his that he was a top five, he was fifth place. He's claiming that the expediter back there told him this, and I actually spoke to that expediter, and he never told him that. He told him that this was the order of the contestants were coming at, and so I don't know where Kamali got that idea. I guess he figures that he got cheated out of a top five placing, but from what I looked at the scorecards and everything and talked to the judges, that was never the case. Now, you know, in the pro ranks, they do score the routine round, and Kamali's routine, which is usually very strong, had to definitely hurt him at that particular show, as you were very astute to point out.
It was a career-ending routine, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, whatever, man. I mean, I'm done talking about him. It's an absolute, you know, waste of good airtime to talk about a very mediocre third-tier pro, and when we have certainly guys that are much, much, much better with far more promise and far better human beings out there to talk about. And quite frankly, I am done with King Kalamari.
All right, well, on that note, I have a couple of maybe better women even that are to talk about, because this past weekend was the 2008 Tournament of Champions Pro Figure Contest that John Lindsay promoted. It was the last chance for these ladies to qualify for the Miss Figure Olympia. The sponsorship of the show, or I should say our coverage of the show, was sponsored by our good friend Arthur L. Ray, once again, who's been sponsoring all our coverage these past several months. So we got to thank the big guy for that. And the results were as follows. Gina Aliotti, who is our Ms. International champ earlier in the year, used this as a little tune-up. She won. Sonia Adcock was second, and Huang Arsines was third. All three girls are on their way to the Olympia this coming weekend, and congratulations to them. Now, John, another thing we were talking about a lot last week on the radio show was the fact that we felt a little slighted that we hadn't gotten press passes from AMI Weider and Robin Chang. And I'm happy to report, as you well know, Robin decided that, you know, it was better to give us the press passes and make amends, and we made peace, and Steve and him spoke on the phone, and there's no harsh feelings. Everyone's getting along now, and we will be getting our press passes for the show, and Muscular Development will be there in full force covering it as we always do.
Good. No, I can't say enough good things about that. You know, I mean, we are definitely a force that goes out there and does a good job promoting these shows and covering them. I've always given Robin Chang props for doing a great, great job putting on the Olympia, even in spite of whatever adversity he might have doing it. I think he's a great promoter. He's always been a gentleman, and maybe this has just been, you know, one big, gigantic misunderstanding. That's entirely possible as well. All I know is that our words were minced by somebody from the other side. We never, you nor I, ever said that we were denied press passes. We merely said we weren't given them, and I think Robin made a very gracious gesture by inviting us to the Olympia and giving us passes, and I'd like to thank him very much for that.
Yeah, no, I think it was exactly what happened. Was there was a misunderstanding between Steve and Robin, and I can understand that because the two of them are very busy. You know, Robin obviously preparing the Olympia, Steve doing the millions of things he does every day, and you know, it's a shame because, you know, we just want to do the best for the sport. It's nothing about he said, she said. I want the Olympia, and you want the Olympia to be, you know, the Super Bowl bodybuilding, which is what it should be.
Well, right, and it wasn't until Bob Chick started putting words in our mouth that this thing got perverted into something dreadful.
Well, I think he was misinformed. So, you know, like I said, it was a misunderstanding, and it's settled. So let's put it to rest. But
I'm glad it was. We should all get together and have a big group hug. That would be the best thing we could do. You know.
Well, I did talk to Chickarillo on the phone because, you know, when all this went down, I wanted to. I figured let me talk to him. He's kind of like our I guess. Equal over there at AMI Weider, and I wanted to air it out.
We have equals?
Well, no one's really our intellectual equals, but or no one's as demented as we are. That's for sure.
No, that's for sure. So you told me we were talking about this. Didn't he, this is a crowning achievement for Bob Chick, and it's virtually unknown. And we got to give him mad props for coming through and passing perhaps one of the most impressive pieces of legislation in his illustrious career as athlete's rep.
Well, I was going to bring that up because, you know, one of the things I had brought up to Bob was that this is before we were given the press pass, and I was upset. I know you were too, that like legends like Flex Wheeler, Sean Ray, Kevin Lavrone, you know, can't go to see the Olympia if they want. They got to like buy a ticket. You know, we thought it was kind of crappy, and I mentioned that to him, and Bob told me, and I didn't really realize this, but I think a year or two ago he enacted. I call it the Chickarillo rule, but I don't really know what the IFBB called it. It's a rule where any IFBB pro can go to see any IFBB show. All they have to do is contact the promoter ahead of time and let them know that they're interested in seeing the show, and the promoter will provide them with tickets. And that's Bob brought that into being.
I think that is awesome. I can't, you know what, that is awesome that he did that. That really shows that he's given something back and look, got the athletes back, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Flex Wheeler, Sean Ray, Kevin Lavrone, these guys are the uncrowned kings, as well as many other, you know, notable IFBB pros should be able to walk in there and they should be welcome with open arms to have their celebrity, you know, be at the show. And really, I was shocked that there wasn't any provision made prior to Bob enacting, you know, this rule that allowed these guys to be able to get tickets. And, you know, that's a really great thing that Bob did. And I think all the reigning IFBB pros out there that are going to be really happy to know now that they can, you know, call up Robin Chang and get free tickets to the show.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You know, and then that includes, I guess, that would include people like Kenny Jones, King Kamali, you know, all the giants of the sport could get into the show, you know, as part of their IFBB status. And I think that's fair.
And I would imagine this is also extended to fitness and figure competitors as well as women bodybuilders, correct?
I don't know. I didn't ask Bob. I don't want to put words in Bob's mouth. He told me the male bodybuilders. I would assume the female bodybuilders as well. So,
well, I would. Perhaps we can get we can get some kind of maybe Jeff the producer can hunt around on this and we can find out if this is on a website somewhere or something where you know people can have access to Robin Chang's contact information and the other promoters, because this is not just the Olympia, this is any IFBB show.
Any IFBB show, correct.
So all of the promoters need to have the, some kind of contact info for these IFBB pros so that they can go ahead and enact or take advantage of this Bob Chick rule and get into the show. Get in there and have their celebrity status noted.
I think it's a great idea. Well, I don't want to harp too much on it, but I just wanted to let people know that because I think it is a rule that I didn't know about personally.
Me too. And I think had we known about this earlier, we would have had even perhaps less misunderstanding with respect to you know, the needs and wants of Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler on our behalf.
Right. Well, John, we got to go to commercial break. When we come back, I am going to talk about the Friday night party that you and I are and Muscle is hosting at Club Privé at the Planet Hollywood. So stay tuned.
News, opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Listen up. Yes, the rumors are true. IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, the greatest genetic freak to ever walk across a bodybuilding stage, is now the ultimate natural freak. So how does he support his crazy out-of-this-world physique without drugs or chemicals? He relies on the technology behind All-American EFX products, formulated exclusively by multi-patent-holding scientist Jeff Galini. All-American has everything you need to go from geek to freak. So take it from Flex Wheeler and get growing naturally with All-American EFX. Look for it at the MD Cyber Store or at AAEFX.com. Gasparri Nutrition delivers the final knockout blow to the nitric oxide category with PlasmaJet, the instant myotrophic hyperexpansion growth kit for oral use. Over 2 years in development, the most intense and effective nitric oxide boosting product ever seen or sold in the sports supplement industry is here. This competition-ending formula will not only cause extreme vasodilation for massive muscle pumps with definition and vascularity to the brink of feasibility, but PlasmaJet will also increase lean mass, strength, and endurance on a level previously unattainable by any other nitric oxide-mediated sports supplement ever. PlasmaJet, coming soon to a gym near you. Only from Gasparri Nutrition. The name you trust, the brand that works.
Want to put on slabs of rock-hard lean muscle mass? Interested in increasing muscle fiber size and number? NO Shotgun and NO Synthesize by VPX is the dynamic combination of pre- and post-workout supplements that has ingredients to kick your anabolic drive into the stratosphere. NO Shotgun and Synthesize utilize the latest science combined with real-world results to show you how you can truly pack on muscle faster than a myostatin mutant bull. For more information on NO Shotgun and Synthesize by VPX, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
At the MD Cyber Store, get a free MD t-shirt plus half off a print subscription to Muscular Development with any purchase of $99 or more. This gets you 12 issues of MD at the ridiculously low price of just $24.99. The MHP Transformation product stacks are on sale now for an additional 10% off. Follow along with the Transformation Challenge online and transform your physique today. Information can be found at the MD Cyber Store homepage. Just click the Transformation Challenge logo on the right-hand column for more details. Visit MDCyberStore.com or transform.muscularDevelopment.com.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
VoiceAmerica.com.
No Bull Radio.
Yo, this is Dexter Jackson. You're listening to No Bull Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of No Bull Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
Welcome back to No Bull Radio with the Muscle Mob. I'm John Romano, sitting here with my partner in crime, an equally pressed past to the Olympia, Dave Palumbo, along with Jeff, the producer. I'm sucking down the last of my Progenix SRG shake and not feeling as feisty as I would have had we had Kamali on the show, but.
You got off the hook, John. You were going to have your work cut out for you.
Oh, my career was going to end. I was so afraid. But I've said I was going to stop talking about him. So
It's impossible to stop talking about him.
Why is that? Why is it that we have four threads ongoing on our board about this guy? Why is it that Sean Ray has made a career out of insulting him? Not insulting him, promoting him. What, I mean... Do you think it's Sean's fault that maybe Sean has kept him alive all this time, that he would have died out long ago if it wasn't for Sean Ray?
I think he hates Sean Ray more than he hates you, actually, John.
Well, no, you know, he made a list. He made a sarcastic list of people he wanted to thank for his illustrious 2006 career. Did he qualify for the Olympia or almost qualified for the Olympia? Whatever he did.
I think that's when he beat Dennis Wolf, isn't it?
Was it? Did he beat Dennis
Wolf? I think so. Yeah, it's a Montreal pro.
Yeah, Dennis was sick or something. But
no, Dennis was great. They ripped him off.
I'm only kidding. What is it about him? Why do the judges insist on antagonizing our industry by placing him 7 to 8 places higher than he deserves? Why do they do that?
It's good for business, John, you know. Business
is it because they just like to hear, is this a cruel joke that they just like to hear us rip on him so much? I mean, why do they do that? If they would just leave him in 12th, 13th, 15th place where he belongs, this would never happen.
I can't figure it out, John. I haven't put my finger on it. But I do know one thing. We have a party coming up that the Muscle Mob will be throwing, myself and you, of course, at Club Privé at Planet Hollywood on Friday night, right after the women's and the 202 class show down there at the Olympia. The doors open at 10, John, and you got to get in there by midnight. Now, if anyone who is interested in going to this party, because it will be a great one, I assure you, should contact me. I will have wristbands for people to get in and cut the lines. No waiting on the line trying to get in. Go right up to the front. You get a discount off the cover price, and it's going to be a great party. Now, this is the same place, John, that Jay Cutler's having a party on Saturday night, but we're going to do the Friday night party because, you know.
And we will be there joined by our scantily clad Mad Hot girlfriends, of course.
And you mean our whole, the whole ALR contingency probably, too.
Yeah, it'll be a...
And the Smalley brothers.
And the Smalley. It'll definitely be a who's who of slightly...
the Whack Pack. The whole MD Whack Pack.
The Whack Pack. The whole MD Whack Pack. And some and girls that don't wear too much in the way of clothing.
They may be spray painted even. They may not even be wearing clothes.
Yeah, Chrissy Chin last year was wearing spray paint for that was it. Remember that?
Yep. And I think Arthur's got a few other hotties he's bringing in for the booth, so I can only imagine.
Well, it will be a night to remember.
I've already been getting emails from people because I posted this on the board saying, where do I meet you for the bracelet? So I know there's going to be a lot of people coming to this party.
We always have a good throng of people that follow us around, and any time that we've, you know, the few times that we actually have all gotten together at a club, we've all had a great time.
Yeah, and you know what the funny is? People don't really concentrate on the Friday night parties. You know, when I used to go to these shows, and I didn't care about seeing the show, I just went to have a good time, hang out at the expo, go out. The club thing was the most important thing. They didn't have these parties back then where everyone was throwing. So, or if they did, it was usually a Titus party on Saturday night. So, I mean, I always was looking for something to do on Friday night. I used to go to Rain or something like that, but it was never quite the same because, you know, you want to go where all the bodybuilders are.
Right. So. Those Craig Titus parties. Remember them?
They were classic, that's for sure.
I just got done interviewing the district attorney that put him away. It was another sort of walk down memory lane with Craig Titus. It was
anything worth talking about?
You know, I didn't really understand until I spoke to the DA really how overwhelming the evidence was against them and how the story that they told about finding Melissa James, you know, of a dead of an overdose, and they just, you know, panicked and wanted to save their careers and tried to cover it up and blah, blah. It was just such an absolute impossibility based on the evidence that they had, the forensic evidence collected in their house, at the scene where they found the car, as well as that autopsy, their conflicting interviews, the surveillance tapes they had. It was just one big, gigantic, huge trademark Craig Titus bullshit story.
Wow.
And that's why, obviously, Craig, went for the plea deal. And he really, you know, I don't know if anybody realized how much he shot himself in the foot with that, because, you know, he pled guilty on Friday, and on a Monday, he was on Channel 3 News stating that he only pled guilty to get Kelly, a lighter sentence. The judges hate that.
No remorse.
That's not showing remorse. And, you know, and he said, the DA said that when he went back to court for sentencing, that Judge Jackie Glass read him the Riot Act. He said, you know, here you are pleading guilty on Friday. And on Monday, I turn on the TV, and there you are on 3 News talking about how you're lying to me. So which is it? Did you or did you not kill Melissa James? And she gave him every opportunity to back out. And of course, you know, he admitted killing her, and that's it. He's done.
Well, that's the maybe not the last we've heard of Titus, but for a while it is, I guess.
Well, we're going to hear about his flamboyant and tragic, you know, death in the joint. I'm sure.
A few escape plots too that have gone would go amok. I'm sure.
Even the DA said, you know, Craig Titus is going to go out in the same ball of flames that his career did. He's going to go out tragically. He said, don't be surprised if 5 or 10 years from now you hear of some, you know, prison yard stabbing or some kind of, you know, Aryan Brotherhood hit or something that takes Craig out. And I said, I don't think it'll take 5 or 10 years. I think it's going to happen a lot sooner than that.
Oh, poor Craig. What a tragic story. Worse than any Shakespeare character I've ever read about.
You know, we can move on after this. Dan Duchesne, my good friend, the original guru, Dan Duchesne, was in a beef with Titus way back in the 90s. And it was said to me one day, you know, I don't know what the future is going to hold for Craig Titus, but whatever it is, he's not going to have an easy time of it. And look at how prophetic those words turned out to be.
Or as Charlie Arms would say, a prophetic utterism. That's his famous line. So.
Awesome.
Anyway, all right, before we get to Sean Ray, I just want to make one sad announcement. Joe Pearson, who was the 2008 USA lightweight champion, suddenly died while doing cardio, John, at the gym yesterday. He was training for the NPC Nationals in hopes to get his pro card, and the autopsy is being performed. They're trying to figure out what happened. No one knows what happened. He just collapsed, and I want to send out my condolences to his family and all his loved ones.
Oh, same here, man. It was not a heart attack. Was it a heart attack? Not a heart attack?
They said it definitely wasn't a heart attack. They said it was some kind of asphyxiation. I don't know what that means or what caused it, but they're looking into it.
Oh, my God. Well, definitely best wishes and prayers to his family.
And someone who actually interviewed him, maybe did the last interview ever with him, Sean Ray, who we have on the phone. Sean.
Sean.
Here. Can you hear me?
Put the fork down.
I'm here at Marbella Golf Course on the 18th hole at a fundraiser for the softball program at UCLA.
Ah, is that where you are?
Yeah, buddy, an old training partner of mine talked me into it. I figured I'd go ahead and cough up a little bit of money for his daughter because I got two of them, and when the time comes, it'll be double that by the time my kids are old enough.
I thought you were eating.
Huh?
I thought you were eating.
No. I'm a caddy today. But yeah, it's tragic about Joe, and my condolences to his family. Like you said, I was one of the last guys to interview him, and who could have saw this coming?
Yeah, it's one of those just unexplained things.
Yeah, well, now, I heard you say something about Craig Titus and maybe his untimely passing down the road, which kind of sounds almost par for the course, man. And who knows how that's going to end.
Well, we'll see. I can't imagine him sticking it out till he's 75 years old. I can't.
Well, John, after you ran down that whole list of stuff that his lawyer had said, that the DA had said, it kind of sounds like that Casey Anthony chick out there in Orlando. I mean,
yeah.
You know, overwhelming evidence.
More than overwhelming. I mean, it was really just an absolute. You know, you know what? The one thing that surprised me most, Sean, is that there was just not more talk of drugs. I mean,
yeah.
This was clearly an absolute escapade of insanity when you put all the pieces together that could not possibly have been carried out in under sober conditions.
I think where they dropped the ball, John, is they did not perform a drug test on him the day after the murder happened. When they came to question him, then they left him at home. They got in their car, sold their car, and bought a four-door truck and drove across the country. They had like almost 10 days to 2 weeks and all the drugs that they were probably doing by the time they came back and got questioned. There was really no, you know, the drugs were an afterthought. They probably would have found a lot of drugs in them if they took a piss test at the time they questioned them initially.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they denied using drugs, which is ironic because that probably could have been a good excuse to get them off the hook.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't know we were messed up.
I don't really think that's a cogent defense, but I
mean,
at least it could have given some sense of you know what the hell went on. You know, I mean,
yeah.
just the absolute litany of crazy things that they did, you know, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 2 o'clock in the morning must have been, I mean, so over the top that you could have made a movie out of it.
Well, yeah, so much stuff went down in 2.5 years. I mean, it's like the O.J. Simpson thing, but the bottom line is, you know, justice is served, and, you know, I think this will probably be the last show we even talk about those two.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Until
Kelly's movie comes out, huh?
Yeah, until the movie comes out. Right.
Or until the day Titus gets shanked in the yard and carried off feet first.
Well, I wanted to correct you, John. I have been doing a great job of actually promoting Kamali. I mean, it's job.
I did say that. You were doing a great job.
Oh, okay. I didn't want it to come off like a negative thing. I mean,
are you kidding? He owes you the biggest Christmas present this year, you know, aside from all of the IFBB judges that place him so high. I think he owes Sean Ray a fruit basket, you know, no pun intended. But, you know, for keeping his name alive. I mean, if it wasn't for you, he would have died a long time ago.
Well, as a matter of fact, I promise that this is the day that he dies because there's really nothing left to talk about. He's not bigger than the Olympians that actually competed and qualified for this show. And we're on the eve of the biggest weekend in bodybuilding. Let's put his name and his history to rest right now. I'm done.
Me
wow.
too.
No more Kamali promotions. You heard it here first. None.
All right. Well, Sean, I got one thing I want to ask you because you're done with Kamali, but are you done with another guy who I heard you received an unexpected phone call from this past week? None other than Milos Starchev.
It seems like, dude, the further I get away from my past, the more it chases me down.
Now, Milos is the guy who when he realized he was on an elevator with you, stopped at the wrong floor and got off because you were on the elevator with him, correct?
Amazing. That was like, I think, where were we? We were in Tampa or something? I forget where we were at, but the bottom line is, this goes all the way back to 2004. When he says that I'm the reason for all of his troubles, but yet he still seems to have trouble following him around, and I haven't talked to him in 4 years.
So why did he call you up?
Well, of course, to bail him out of some trouble.
what trouble was that?
Well, he has been working and been friends with Hidetada Yamaguchi, and without Hidetada Yamaguchi in the Olympia, maybe there's no money to be made for him. So as a last resort, I think he made a commitment maybe to himself or to Hidetada that, you know what, I'm going to go against everything I believe in. I'm going to call this guy that I supposedly kicked out of my gym verbally 2 or 3 years ago, who's ruined my life, who's turned me over to the DA, who's a total piece of crap, Sean Ray. I'm going to call him up and ask him to help me out in this situation. So
what
my
favorite,
right now, you know, I have caller ID. I didn't know who the hell it was, and lo and behold, it was like we were back in 2003 training together. Hey, man, what's going on? I said, who's this? That's Milos. Hey, Sean, I heard you live in Chino. Like, what do you mean, do I live in Chino? My sister lives in Chino. Well, that's right around the corner from me. I said, okay, well, maybe we should meet for sushi.
Common ground.
What?
What did he want you to do for him, though?
Well, he wanted me to argue his case to the IFBB that he, Tata, should be given a special invite, even though he didn't compete in the 202 division to qualify for the Olympia. And somehow or another, I had some kind of power to talk to Mannion and talk to Bob and call up Robin Chang and Peter McGough and AMI and Joe Weider and get some strings pulled to get Hidetada into Mr. Olympia. That, you know, he was eighth place in Atlantic City, I believe it was. Wasn't he eighth place or lower?
Yeah, you know, somewhere around there.
He was down the list, but I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know, he might have been pulling an all-nighter or using Craig's leftover stuff, but he thought, I know, I'll call Sean Ray. I thought, I'm getting blown away here, man. I mean, there's nothing there, Dave. I mean, I hate being mean to guys now. I'm getting older. I'm realizing that it's not really getting me anywhere. So I'm going to try to be nice to everybody and extend an olive branch to Milos, pick him up on the sushi, and shake hands and bury the hatchet. I might even give Kamali a hug by the team at the Olympia and brace for the right cross.
All right, well, if they didn't invite Lee Priest, they're not going to invite Ian Todd. You know, unfortunately, he had some legal issues and visa problems, but, you know, that's not the IFBB's fault. So, from what, at least from what Bob told me, he will not be getting a special invite.
No, he doesn't deserve one. It's an honor and it's a privilege, and I don't think he's paid his dues to be honored at Olympia based on his history.
Speaking of what Bob told you, Sean, did you know that you as an IFBB pro are eligible to get a free ticket to any IFBB show based on the this rule that he had passed as athletes rep?
Well, then I must have not got the memo, but I can categorically say that I got the tickets to the Olympia from.
Where the hell are you? I can't even hear you. You sound like you're running up a flight of steps.
Running somewhere? I'm not running anywhere. Can you hear me?
No. What are you carrying golf clubs or something? Sit down.
I'm at a golf course. Can you hear me? I haven't moved.
You keep breaking up, man. It's annoying. Right, you're gonna have to re-answer that question for our loyal listeners.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, and you can have a job with Verizon.
I've got the Verizon crew behind me. Okay.
All right, let's talk about the Olympia, Sean.
No, wait, I want to finish hearing if he knew about the rule.
Oh.
No, I did not know about the rule. However, I have supported the Mr. Olympia annually by buying my wife's ticket so that, A, I contribute to the competition, and that, B, I don't have any problems with her. But I've always been, you know, pretty much carte blanche at the Olympia and all the pro shows.
Sean, you sound like you're talking through a tin can with a string. Now we lost.
Sorry?
I think you better call us back. Call us back, Sean.
All right, call you back.
All right. Derek Anthony is text messaging me. He can't hear shit, he said.
It's the 21st freaking century. You know, now I know why Howard Stern gets pissed off that he can't.
Yeah, he shouldn't be calling us from a golf course, you know. He knows he's got to be on the radio. He should find a place to sit down and talk to us like a normal human being.
No, you can't. He's Sean Ray.
Well, you know what? It is Olympia week. We haven't even mentioned anything about the Olympia yet, John. And we're already 44 minutes into the show.
We need 3 hours. I don't know why everybody thinks that this 2 hours is too long. I've yet to find anybody but you-know-who who says that.
Now, let's talk about Jay Cutler for a minute until Sean gets back on the line here.
All right.
What are the odds that he doesn't win the repeat as the Mr. Olympia this year?
At the same odds that I'm going to find the Bugatti Veyron in my garage when I wake up tomorrow morning.
With the keys in it, running.
No, but you know what? I got to be careful. I don't mean that in
any
nefarious way. I mean that is that he is Mr. Olympia. And, you know, it's been proven, with the exception of Ronnie's, you know, final competition, you know, 2 years ago, and with the exception of Samir Banute, ever since Arnold, the guy who is in charge is the guy who wins, because you have to be good enough to knock him out. Jay Cutler is the best bodybuilder in the world right now. He did come in a little off last year, obviously in the judge's mind, not off enough to lose, and I know Jay Cutler, and this year you're going to see a much better Jay Cutler than last year, and the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is because I know this. I know Jay, and I know he is not going to show up looking like he did last year. He is going to be on the game, on the money, and he is going to be impossible to beat.
That's why I'm saying.
I mean, we saw pictures of him online, obviously from about a week ago, and he looks like his conditioning is what it needs to be. And, you know, I'd like to see Dennis Wolf standing next to him because, you know, conventionally, at least, over the years, the Mr. Olympia has always been a big, thick, freaky-looking bodybuilder. That's right. The look they go for.
Exactly.
Jay certainly fits that description. Probably the only other person who would fit that description would have to be Dennis Wolf because of his height, his width of his shoulders. I mean, he looks like a typical, prototypical, you know, Joe Weider, Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, he does. So, last year we were not treated to side-by-side comparisons of Jay Cutler and Dennis Wolf. This year they have no choice.
Right.
And you know as well as I do, Dennis Wolf looks freaking amazing right now. Much improved over last year. Jay is going to be on his game, and I think we're going to see the two blonde bombers duking it out on stage, and that's going to make for a great show.
Yeah,
you know, if you're there watching it.
Well, last year Dennis looked great. He wasn't ready to beat Jay Cutler, even though Jay was a little off. You know, Victor was much closer, obviously. But you know, this year Dennis Wolf has put on probably 10 to 12 pounds of muscle on that physique he displayed last year. I mean, Dennis James himself said it because they're living together right now for the last 2 weeks. He said on some interview they did with him that Dennis Wolf made better improvements from last year to this year than he did from the year before to last year, which is incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, and when I saw him guest posed here at the Southern States, I mean, he was standing next to Dennis James and Dexter Jackson, and he made them look like little kids. He was gigantic. And, you know, I mean, his lines and his shape, little tiny waist with gigantic legs and wide, wide shoulders. He cuts an amazing silhouette, and I think you're going to see an incredible battle up there if you can see it.
Well, you can always see it on bodybuilding.com. They have the webcast. I know the webcast is not the best way to see it, and you can obviously follow along in our live play-by-play we'll have with Sean and Flex. And speaking of Sean, we got him back on the line.
All right.
Sean, well, you got a better connection now?
Clubhouse now. We're good.
All right. Now,
good.
We just finished talking about Jay, so you missed out on that, but what do you think about Wolf? Is Wolf the second best bodybuilder on the scene right now?
Based on what I've seen, Dennis Wolf is going to be second or third. Of course, I don't claim to be a judge, but based on his size, standing next to Dexter, he's going to be the only one that can go muscle for muscle with Jay, who I believe will probably wind up repeating as champion. And Dexter, I think he might be overwhelmed with the size of a Dennis Wolf. Forget the fact that Dennis still has a little areas that he has to improve on, but his number one knock is his calves, and that's the same number one knock for Dexter Jackson.
Well, you know, I just see, you know, as far as comparisons, I mean, you're definitely looking at apples to apples when you got a Jay Cutler and a Dennis Wolf next to each other versus, you know, a Jay Cutler and a Dexter Jackson or a Dexter Jackson and a Dennis Wolf standing next to each other. So I think the closeness in the comparison is going to be, you know, a little more towards, you know, the advantage of that first second, you know, battle, don't you think?
Well, I think it will, and it's kind of reminiscent of 97 when you had Dorian and Nasser. The only difference was in 96, we had Dorian first, me second, and Nasser third, and even on that occasion, I was of the frame of mind that either I would be first in 96 or I would be third because how they could stick me between a Nasser and a Dorian, it just didn't mix. I think we're looking at the same scenario here. Putting Dexter in between Jay and in between Dennis Wolf, there's going to be something wrong with that picture. I just think the apples to apples are Jay Cutler and Dennis Wolf. And then you're going to have, you know, Dexter fighting it out with the Phil Heath. I think that's probably more of a likely scenario because when you critique them, they both kind of have a long torso. But I believe Dennis Wolf's size is going to be a little bit more intimidating and harder for Dexter to overcome and to deal with when those comparison poses come out because he's going to be muscle-to-muscle with Jay. And I think Dexter's going to come up a little short when it comes down to the size of the muscle.
Well, let's talk about Dexter then. You know, there are some people out there that feel that ever since Dexter left MD, he hasn't been assessed fairly. Do you think that has anything to do with it, and where do you think Dexter falls in this year's lineup? Is it a third, fourth battle with him and Heath, or, you know, does he really have a shot at, you know, knocking Dennis out of the way?
I think Dexter has been given as fair a shake as you can possibly get. I don't think the magazines and the sponsors and all that stuff factor into what these judges are looking for, because I just can't see Weinberger and Raquel and Lee Thompson and Mannion and Rinaldi. I can't see them collectively saying, well, he's an MD guy, he's a Weider guy. I think they're looking at the total sum parts of the comparison. I mean, they have a very hard job to do. Dexter's a three-time Arnold Classic champion, and Dennis Wolf is what? The Pittsburgh Keystone Classic champion. I mean, their track records are not similar at all, but I believe that right. Dennis, with all the size and mass that he's had to accumulate on his body and not competing as often as Dexter and being a whole lot younger than Dexter, he's going to be a little bit more intimidating when he comes out on stage, because he's had a full year, didn't have to mess with the Arnold Classic. Dexter's pretty much going to bring the same package like myself. I mean, we don't change that much year to year when you put on 5 pounds or 3 pounds on a smaller frame. But a guy like Dennis Wolf, if he comes in the right kind of condition, his conditioning, I believe, gets better than Jay's. Jay, you know, has a tendency to appear soft in certain poses, especially standing relaxed, with the exception of his flared, feathered quadriceps. Dennis Wolf could be a problem for Dexter, because I don't think Dexter is going to show the amount of improvements that I think Dennis Wolf possibly would. And this time, the judges are going to have to take a long, hard, comparative look against Jay Cutler. And that's going to be hard to ignore. They ignored it last year. I don't think they're going to make that mistake this year. And it's going to work in Dennis's favor. I like Dexter. I mean, Dexter's similar to me. I love everything that he brings. But there's not enough muscle that he's bringing to stand between those two bodybuilders, I don't believe, not this year.
Well, now, when you look at, you know, Dennis Wolf for a moment, does he remind you of something like a come-out-of-nowhere guy, like sort of like Dorian was? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, there was Dorian Yates, and like, oh, my God, what do you do with this guy? He's blowing everybody away, like almost out of the box. Is that a possibility for Dennis Wolf?
Well, he finally got noticed last year. And if you remember, Jay Cutler was in the Olympia long before he was placing four-time first runner-up in that Olympia. He was like 12th or 15th and moved up to ninth place. But what happened with Jay is he was so young that it took some time to fill out. The same thing is going on with Phil Heath. He came on the pro scene so young that it takes a little bit longer for those bodies that big to fill out. I think Dennis Wolf is now growing into his body. It's starting to mature, which only comes with time. And the good thing for him is it's starting to mature on the Olympia stage, not at these smaller contests, the New York Night of Champions, Australia, and all these other ones. He really did serve notice last year, and with a full year off of training, while Dexter was dieting and doing his Arnold Classic, I believe of the two, Dennis Wolf will probably bring a more surprising package in the way of size and gains than Dexter, who will probably bring something very similar to the Arnold Classic, which was damn near perfection, but he wasn't standing next to Jay and he wasn't standing next to a Dennis Wolf. I just think size is going to continue to rule at the Mr. Olympia.
Just to clarify something, Sean, when we said that Dexter wasn't being treated fairly, we meant by some people were accusing that MD wasn't treating Dexter fairly in their assessment of how he'll do at the Olympia. But I think the point you just made clarified that, in a sense that, you know, Dennis Wolf is getting a lot of play now by us, not just because he works for muscle development, but because he has matured his physique and he's taken on almost a new persona up at that Olympia level.
Yeah, but I mean, fans are going to Monday morning quarterback everything that all the magazines do. You talk to one person, MD sucks. You talk to another person, and they're great. Mm. I think for the athlete that's contracted by a magazine, you know, the magazine's paying them to do pictures and promote. I mean, Phil Heath came out of that Ironman with more coverage from us than the Weider magazines gave him. At the end of the day, the people that are picking these champions is not the promoter of the contest, nor is it the magazine publishers. This is judged by independent judges. I don't think that factors in, and I know all those judges personally. I grew up with them 20 years or so. These guys are pretty, you know, these athletes are independent contractors. They're not choosing sides when it comes to these athletes. If Dexter Jackson brings it, he'll be rewarded. I just believe that in light of the way I know the history of the Olympia, Dennis Wolf served notice last year. I don't have it, you know, a doubt in my mind that he will be better than he was last year. And you take Ronnie Coleman out, you take Victor Martinez out, I believe that Dexter Jackson is going to be in some trouble. I think Dexter Jackson's main fight is going to be with Phil Heath while Dennis Wolf will be battling it out with Jay Cutler.
Let's talk about Philly. John and I were having this little debate, not on the show, but earlier today. Do you think Philly has what it takes to one day win the Olympia?
Well, yeah, because he's got youth on his side. I guarantee you, in the next year or two, Jay Cutler will be doing pretty much, you know, the seminar circuit, and he will be done because there's nothing left to prove, and there's only one place to go, and that's down. And, of course, Dennis Wolf will be there knocking at the door, and I know Jay doesn't want to go out losing to somebody. He wants to retire a champion. So I think Jay's going to have 1 or 2 years left. Dexter Jackson is pushing 40. There's not a whole lot of places he can go if he doesn't place in that second number two spot. I don't think he's ever been first runner-up, has he?
No.
So if he doesn't get it this year, I think he said earlier that, you know what, he's going to go back to the Arnold. You know, it's still a business, and he wants to be a champion. If he realizes, like myself and some of the other guys before me, that he cannot win the Mr. Olympia, he'll become disenchanted and either go straight back to the Arnold Classic or head for greener pastures. That's going to leave, you know, Kai Greene, Victor Martinez, and Phil Heath, and out of those, and Dennis Wolf, and out of those, Phil Heath has time on his side more than all of them. I mean, I think there could be a time 5 years down the road where the names we're talking about right now are gone, and Phil Heath is still there and possibly the champion.
Well, how old is Phil Heath now?
He's like 28, so, you know, he'll be 33 years old.
Dennis is only 29. No, Dennis Wolf is 29.
I thought he was 27.
28,
29, it's all the same when you're 43, but in 5 years, they're still going to be younger. They're
right.
Going to be the youngest on the stage, I believe, because most Olympians
right.
these days, with the exception of Phil Heath and Dennis Wolf, are 30-plus and pushing 40.
Well, who will be Mr. Olympia in 5 years? Will it be Dennis Wolf or Phil Heath, in your mind?
Well, again, we're going to be looking at apples and oranges, and I just have a tendency to believe that if we have pretty much the same judges, they don't change their mind year to year. I mean, it did take a big version of Dorian Yates to follow in the footsteps of Lee Haney at his prime in 91. And then when Dorian took off, here came a bigger version in Ronnie Coleman, and then here came Jay Cutler. I think that they're not going to change their minds overnight and suddenly go down to a Dexter Jackson at 220 pounds. I think it's going to take a guy like a Dennis Wolf, 250 pounds, that, you know, makes, you know, Jay Cutler look small. And down the road, you're going to be left with, when Jay Cutler's gone, you're going to be left with Phil Heath and Dennis Wolf. And if Dennis Wolf wins one, I think that's, they don't change that title from year to year. I think if Dennis Wolf wins one and it's him, Kai Greene, and Victor Martinez, you know, Victor Martinez is the X factor. He can come back in 09 and shake a few things up for Dennis Wolf. It'll be very interesting in 09. I think 09 will be more interesting than 08.
Do you think there's any validity to the rumor that this might be Jay Cutler's last Olympia?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I was at his house, and I saw his trophy case. And like myself, when I knew it was my last Olympia, I left one spot open in my trophy case for the Olympia participation medal, which was 13 Olympias. Jay's got one spot left for a Mr. Olympia medal. Now, if his contract changes, should he repeat his, you know, three-time Mr. Olympia, he may be talked out of retirement and coming back. But from the look of it and the sound of it, and mind you, he was dieting for the show, he sounded like this was going to be it if he wins it, put the medal in the trophy case, and start a family. But again, when people come out of the woodwork to throw money at you, it's kind of hard to just retire when you're so young. What is Jay, 34? Or he turned 35 in July?
I don't know.
I think he turned like 34 or 35 in this past July. And it looked like it might be his last Olympia, but he didn't verbally say it. I just know that his wife's talking about having kids, and he's talking about, you know, some other things. So There's only two other Mr. Olympians that have won it three times, and that's Joe Oliva and Frank Zane. So he would be in very good company. If he won it four, he would stand alone as the only four-time Mr. Olympia, but he'd have to be back in 09. And I think Victor Martinez might have a thing or two to say about that.
And you'd have to have a new trophy case built.
no question. You know, it's going to be more interesting, I think, once you get out of the top four. Because on paper, I believe that, you know, Jay Cutler, Dennis Wolf, Dexter Jackson, and Phil Heath, I think, barring an injury or totally missing a peak up by any of those guys, that will be the top four.
So who's fifth?
That's going to be the interesting spot. Fifth and sixth are going to be pretty interesting. Gustavo Bedell has been very quiet. We know he's been able to be that high, but as of late, he's coming a few pounds heavy. He hasn't been able to tighten up the glutes and the hamstrings like he once did back in 04. Melvin, coming off the Atlantic City Pro show, looked phenomenal, but he was only as good as the guys he was standing next to, only one of which was an Olympian in Johnny Jackson. So Melvin, you know, I believe Melvin was sixth place last year. He's a guy that could slip up there, you know, in Gustavo. I think those two guys are the best bet for fifth and sixth.
I thought Tony Melvin Anthony in Atlantic City was perhaps the best Melvin Anthony we've ever seen.
Yeah, John, what I was going to say was Melvin looked a whole lot better, too, because he wasn't standing next to anybody. He was standing next to Johnny Jackson. Not to say he's a nobody, he was last year's champion, but Johnny Jackson has never been higher than 10th place in the Mr. Olympia. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Michael Jordan going back to the Olympic Games, you know, playing against amateurs. I mean, Melvin did show that he's a far superior athlete next to the guys he was with, but it'll be the rubber will hit the road when he stands next to the guys at the Olympia.
What about Tony Freeman?
I just believe Tony's going to be the victim of competing too many times. It happened to him when he had won the Pro Ironman and struggled to make the top 15 a year ago, and I think it looks like he may be headed down this road again. I saw the pictures in Atlantic City. He was not as good as he was in Tampa, and he was not as sharp as he was in Texas, and I attribute that to the fact that he's had to remain on his diet, and remaining on your diet and coming down for a guy that big, he starts to flatten out, and he actually starts to look a little slender. I mean, Dennis Wolfe is probably the same height as Tony Freeman, if not an inch shorter, but he looks twice the size and twice as freaky. That's what Tony Freeman needs to look like, is a Dennis Wolfe.
Mm.
He's such a big, tall guy that he's got to come in big like that, and I think he lost that at the Atlantic City Pro.
Mm. Well, we'll have to see if he can redeem himself. So give us your top five before we let you go. We got to go to commercial here.
Well, I got Jay Cutler three-peating. I've got Dennis Wolfe, who I've never actually personally met, so I don't want Dexter to come chewing my head off because I picked him second. I think he's going to be a formidable guy standing there next to Jay Cutler. It's the comparison everybody wants to see. I think that'll be the first call-out, and Dexter Jackson will be in that call-out as well, and he will look relatively small compared to those two guys. But I think he'll handle Phil Heath by placing third. I think Phil Heath will be in fourth. His first Olympia, he sat it out. He was qualified the last 2 years, so this is actually would be his third Olympia had he taken those first 2 years. And in fifth place, I think Melvin Anthony may hang on to move up one spot from last year and get that fifth place spot. And I think Gustavo's going to be in sixth. And after that, you can talk about Tony Freeman and Dennis James and then Silvio Samuel.
Wow. John, do you agree? What's your top five?
I see Silvio doing better than that.
Silvio was seventh last. No, eighth place last year.
Yeah, but I know he was, but I'm not going by last year. I'm going by you know how these guys look, and I think that you've got Tony coming down. I hate to say this because Dave works with him, but I mean unless Tony's going to come up, you know, in the next 2 weeks. I know he's planning on that. But
5 days, John.
two weeks from when I saw him in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're at that level, when you're at between eighth place and fifth and fourth place in this lineup, you are splitting hairs so thin that it's almost impossible to call it. But I've seen Silvio Samuel hang in there and compete and make improvements every single time. I know he's had a good little break here, and I know that he's hungry and ready to come back. I think he's got an amazing physique, incredible lines. And I think he could definitely push a Gustavo Bedell and a Melvin Anthony right out of the way if he's on his game.
I totally agree with you. That's why I don't want to even be a judge. I mean, and not to mention I'm good friends with Silvio. Tony Freeman and Dennis James are their own worst enemies when it does come to the Mr. Olympia preparation. And they're not getting any younger. I believe Tony's 42 and Dennis is 40. So out of the three, Silvio probably stands a chance to hit his peak based on his youth and his hunger better than Dennis and better than Tony. So that's a valid argument.
Well, I'm gonna go with Jay first, Dennis second, Dexter third, Phil fourth. I agree with that. I also go Melvin fifth. I'm gonna put Tony Freeman in sixth, Gustavo in seventh, with Silvio eighth, and ninth place would be Dennis James. But you know, like I said, it's very arbitrary after five. So I think it's gonna come down to a conditioning game. The most conditioned athletes after four. Fourth place are going to find themselves basically aligned in that the order of which they present their best conditioning. That's my
I think David Henry could pick up the slack in 10th place, and that would be a victory for him.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, boys, we'll find out in a week.
Yep, Sean, go back to golf. Let me ask you one question before you go. Are you better than Chicharillo at golf, or do you just caddy?
Absolutely not. I'm strictly eye candy out here for these guys.
I was going to say, I'm sure he dresses better.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I'll play three times a week.
Yeah, Sean, we'll see you at the Olympia.
All right,
all right,
Sean.
Guys. Later.
Thanks.
All right, John, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have the one and only Charlie Arms.
Yeah, can't wait.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Listen up. Yes, the rumors are true. IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, the greatest genetic freak to ever walk across a bodybuilding stage, is now the ultimate natural freak. So how does he support his crazy out-of-this-world physique without drugs or chemicals? He relies on the technology behind All-American EFX products, formulated exclusively by multi-patent-holding scientist Jeff Galini. All-American has everything you need to go from geek to freak. So take it from Flex Wheeler and get growing naturally with All-American EFX. Look for it at the MD Cyberstore or at AAEFX.com.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
At the MD Cyberstore, get a free MD t-shirt plus half off a print subscription to Muscular Development with any purchase of $99 or more. This gets you 12 issues of MD at the ridiculously low price of just $24.99. The MHP Transformation product stacks are on sale now for an additional 10% off. Follow along with the Transformation Challenge online and transform your physique today. Information can be found at the MD Cyberstore homepage. Just click the Transformation Challenge logo on the right-hand column for more details. Visit MDCyberStore.com or transform.muscularDevelopment.com.
Gasparri Nutrition delivers the final knockout blow to the nitric oxide category with PlasmaJet, the instant myotrophic hyperexpansion growth kit for oral use. Over 2 years in development, the most intense and effective nitric oxide boosting product ever seen or sold in the sports supplement industry is here. This competition-ending formula will not only cause extreme vasodilation for massive muscle pumps with definition and vascularity to the brink of feasibility, but PlasmaJet will also increase lean mass, strength, and endurance on a level previously unattainable by any other nitric oxide-mediated sports supplement ever. PlasmaJet, coming soon to a gym near you. Only from Gasparri Nutrition. The name you trust, the brand that works.
Want to put on slabs of rock-hard lean muscle mass? Interested in increasing muscle fiber size and number? NO Shotgun and NO Synthesized by VPX is the dynamic combination of pre- and post-workout supplements that has ingredients to kick your anabolic drive into the stratosphere. NO Shotgun and Synthesized utilize the latest science combined with real-world results to show you how you can truly pack on muscle faster than a myostatin mutant bull. For more information on NO Shotgun and Synthesized by VPX, go to VPXSports.com. That's VPXSports.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
No Bull Radio.
Hey, this is Flex Wheeler, and you're listening to No Bull Radio with John Romano and Dave, what's his name on that big head guy? Dave Palumbo, that's it. Dave Palumbo. Yep, that's him.
This hour of No Bull Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
I woke up this
Welcome back to No Bull Radio with the Muscle Mob. I'm here with my cohort in crime, John Romano, and Jeff, the producer, and we just got off the phone with the one and only Sean Ray, who's out on the golf course, being a very famous caddy. But for now, we got our next guest on the phone. The guy I'm talking about is a very good friend of mine. He's a two-time Masters National 60-plus overall champ and a two-time Masters 60-plus pro world champion. He's also the oldest actively competing IFBB pro bodybuilder on the circuit. The man I'm talking about is none other than Charlie Arms Urigo. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Charlie, for those of our listeners out there who may not know who you are, because a lot of them don't, give us a little background on how you got into bodybuilding and where you got that name Charlie Arms from.
Well, I got into bodybuilding a friend of mine a few years ago back in 2003 when I was visiting down in Florida. I haven't seen him for years. He was an old training partner of mine. And I bumped into him. He says that he was sponsoring a bodybuilding show, and I told him, you know, I'm not crazy about bodybuilders, Lester. He said, no, my kids are going to be there. You haven't seen me yet. Come on down. And I went down. It was in Fort Lauderdale. It was the Southern States. And I went and saw him, and he says, no, go inside. You see these old-timers, these 60-year-old-timers. Go inside, see him. So I went in there, sat down, and it looked really bad. These guys look terrible. So my old lady turned to me and said, you could beat these guys right now if you take off your clothes and get up there. So I said, yeah. So we drove home, and all the way home, she started nagging me about, no, we could do this. You could do this. You could do this. All you need is a diet. You'll see. You could do this. So I was going to turn 60 next year in June, and the show was July. So I said, okay. And I went home. I found this guy, somebody new, and gave me a diet. And then I saw my body make like a metamorphosis, from the caterpillar into a butterfly. I couldn't believe that I had muscles. So I went into the show, and I won that show. I took the overall. And then a judge came backstage. He said, who are you? He said, what do you mean who I am? I said, who are you? He said, I'm a judge. I said, you're a judge? What are you doing back here? He said, no. He said, we never saw where'd you come from? You done this? Where you been on it? I said, listen, fella, I came in here on a dare. He said, you going to go into the Nationals? I said, what's the Nationals? No, you could win the Nationals at Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah, okay, pal, forget it. He says, no, you could do it. So I came back home again, and sure as hell, my wife on the way back started nagging me again. Well, why don't we do the Nationals? You could do the Nationals. I said, get out of here. So she talked me into it. 2004, I went into the Nationals, and I won the Nationals. And I crossed over because that's the first year they were giving a pro card out to the 50s in 2004. So I crossed over. I came in second in my weight class. And I took the overall in the men's, and then no pro card. So I said, forget about this. So then she said, why don't we go back to 2005 and the nag and start again? I got a good woman, but she's relentless, like all women that love their man. So I said, all right, we'll go back in 2005. I said, maybe I'll be in better shape. I'll cross over and get a pro card, and I'll go into the 50s. This time I was going backwards. I came in third. So, I spoke to a couple of the officials. They said, hey, fellas, not for nothing, but no pro cards out to the 60-year-olds. You look at the shape of these 60. They look good. They train just as hard as everybody else, even harder because of their age and the injuries. If they take an overall, give them a pro card. The answer was, who looks like you? I said, no, that's not good enough. That's not a good answer. So about 2 months later, I got a phone call from one of the officials, and he said, listen, we're retroacting you a pro card as of 2004, so you're a pro. So I'm a pro.
Wow. Charlie, hold on. He didn't answer my main question, which is, how did you get the nickname Charlie Arms?
Oh, no, that was your second question, if I'm correct, pal. Maybe getting old, but I'm still pretty sharp. I got my nickname a lot of years ago. There was a fellow who fixed motorcycles repair shop in Mount Vernon in Westchester on Scotch Bridge, and quite a few of the Hells Angels used to go there and get their bikes worked on. And one day I was in there getting my Sportster worked on, and there was a guy, the president, Sandy Alexander, who was a good friend of mine, and he was there, and I didn't know him at the time, and I wasn't even introduced to him. And when I was outside the shop, I was showing off to Eddie. I said, Eddie, watch this, and I kicked over my 900 Sportster with my arm. So he got kind of impressed. So I went back up. I went back a couple of times, and one of the times when I went back, this fella Sandy Alexander was there again, and I got introduced to them. He says, "Well, that was." I says, "This is." I got introduced by Eddie. He says, "This is Charlie. This is Sandy." And Sandy says, "That was pretty impressive there, Charlie Arms," and it stuck with me ever since.
For those of you who are motorcycle-y challenged, kicking over means starting up for those non-electric bikes. So you kick-started your bike with your arm, basically.
That's correct, John. How you doing, John?
You know, Charlie, I've got to tell you, I've met you a couple times, but the Atlantic City, I was the first time I got to actually spend some time with you, and you're a gentleman's gentleman, and I'm really honored to have you on the show.
Well, to me, that's a big compliment, called a gentleman. I've got to be called, if I'm going to be called anything in life, it's a gentleman. Thank you.
So it definitely fits you, Charlie. What's your nationality are you, and where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Bronx in Morris Park. My nationality is my mother is Napoli Don Italian and my father is Colombian from Bogota,
Italian.
Colombia.
You are what your mother is. You're Italian, Napoli Don. Like me.
He's got things. You're right. I never had a father, but I know that much about him anyhow.
He's got the Latin temper, though.
You know, Italian. As you know, Dave, we Italians are known for our tempers as well.
Charlie, you're somewhat of a legend in the Westchester and Bronx area. In fact, I was speaking to Greg Valentino, who writes for the magazine, the other day, and he told me a great story about he was petrified of you back in the day. Whenever you would train at the same gym as him, he would run off the machine when you would come over and say you wanted to work out. A lot of people don't realize this, but you had over 20-inch arms back in the 70s when only Leroy Colbert was sporting arms that big. What did you do for your arms that made them grow so big?
You know, if I tell people things, they say, "Oh, you got to be kidding me! I worked them every day, Dave." I said, "These things have got to get big. Do you think I knew better? I didn't know any better. I just started learning what to do these last few years, Dave."
No kidding.
But were you really a terror in the gyms back in the day?
You know, everybody likes to tout themselves and stuff like that in certain things. But you know, I'm a no, you're no bull radio, I'm a no bullshit guy. I was in the gyms, you know, there is a story about me. I was in the gyms at East Coast Fitness, and that was the first hardcore gym up here in Westchester County. And I used to see, and I got to call them clowns because they are clowns. They used to come in the gym, you know, with this attitude and who to think they are, if they could squat 500-600 pounds and walk around flexing with their backs wide open, all that bullshit. And a lot of these guys that they didn't know me, I used to walk, when they came in to join that gym, I used to walk up to them and say, "Excuse me, you see what time it is?" They say, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You see what time it is? Well, yes, 2 o'clock. I train between 2 and 3:30. I don't want to see you here. You got a problem with that?" So, and a lot of these guys knew me, and a lot of guys I would just break balls with. But some of these characters, that's what I'd have to say to them, because I was no nonsense. I don't want to look at these jerks in the gym. That's why people say, "Well, where do you train?" I train in about, I'm comped. I know a lot of people. I train in about 5 or 6 different gyms in the area because I hate looking at the same faces of these clowns every day. They all got these attitudes like somebody owes them something, you know, because they train hard and they look good. I understand that. You do train hard and you do look good. But, you know, you don't push it in people's faces. You know, I wrote about it. I wrote a couple of articles for MD. You fellas know about it. It's on my website. About bullies in the gym, you know, and that's not where it's at in the gym, but be it as it may, this is what it's like in gyms.
Yeah, definitely. Charlie, let's go back to an earlier stage in your life. You know, you had, by all accounts, quite an exciting life. Give us some of the highlights of your younger years. You know, Dave tells me you had a pretty insane-looking boat and some custom Corvettes.
Before I got all taken away from me, I had all the toys. I worked hard. I had 3 corporations. I had a chemical company. I did the trucking company out of Port Newark, the piers, and I used to deliver sealed containers to the warehouses with my trucks. And I also had a construction company And I had a few dollars, and I bought all the toys I go with, and my boat was named On Distance, and my cars were named Sea Arms. I guess you would say it's a big ego thing. Well, then again, fellas, guess what? The last three letters of my name is E-G-O.
Eurego.
Yeah, Eurego. What kind of boat was it, Charlie?
It was, you know what it was? It was a prototype. It was a 400 Express Cruiser. They only made three in the world. One was in Spain, one was in California, and one was in Florida. The one I liked in Florida had shipped to Lindenhurst over here in Long Island. It was a prototype. It was a 400 Express Cruiser yacht. It was a 2409s inboard gas engine, and it was quick.
If you go to his website, johncharliearms.com, you can check out some of the pictures of him on the boat. It looks like a pretty insane boat.
I'll bet.
Well, it was a female magnet.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I was partners in a Magnum, in a 41-foot Magnum with two other guys, and all I remember doing is shoveling money into that thing. I don't remember it magnetizing any girls towards it.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about shoveling money. You know, when I bought the boat, I had money at the time, and a guy said to me, when I stepped on the boat, I said, I'll take it. He says, oh, you've operated, you know, big boats before. I said, well, how big is this thing? He says, this is 47 foot. I said, oh, okay, I guess it's big. He said, well, wait a second, you never operated a boat before? I said, no. I said, I've never even been on a boat except like the ferry. I'm from the Bronx. I said, I've never been on a really boat. I never went fishing in my life. So you do know what took place next, don't you? I would go out there, drink my face off, and start banging into everything. So I had it docked in a marina, and I also had a space in a little slip in Sea Ray, which was down the canal, and I used to pull in there every week because I'd bang into people's boats and do all this kind of stupid shit, but I had a lot of money at the time, and I used to just give them, how much do you think that's worth to fix your boat? Oh, $1,000? Okay, here's $1,200. Stories, I mean, it's
and he's got 20-inch arms and he's drunk, so, like, you know, what are you going to do?
Charlie, let's talk about another part of your history. You don't hide the fact that you went to prison for over 7 years of your life. Give our listeners a little idea of what you were in there before, and tell our listeners about the day you got arrested, because I think that was a pretty good story.
Hey, Dave, not for nothing, but you gave me an extra year. I feel like I'm doing a time right now by just saying it.
Well, you know, you're in good company, Charlie, because both of us are ex-cons, too, so, you know.
But I did. But wait a second, fellas. No. I went in for lending money. I didn't go in for any drug dealing.
Me neither. I didn't go in for any drug dealing.
What'd you go in for, John? Let me do an interview here. What'd you go in for?
Closer to you, I went in for a wire fraud deal.
Oh, that's okay.
A lot of guys said it was respectable what I did.
Listen, did you make any money?
Yeah, I made a lot of money.
Then it was respectable.
It took them 2 months to take all the shit away from me.
Did we lose him? Charlie?
No, I'm still here.
So you want to give us a little idea of what happened to you the day they arrested you?
Yeah, they kicked down my door with a no-knock search warrant, and they were unlawful then, those no-knock search warrants. But the feds don't worry about little things like that. And they took me away, and I never saw light again. And I didn't know what it was for. They said extortion, extension of credit. Okay, what's that? Oh, loan sharking, supposedly. So then I went away for that. But that's only the beginning. I mean, Dave, we could spend a lot of hours on this phone right now. You know it. What happened to me. I mean, there comes the feds. I represented myself at trial. I made case law at trial. I did the pro se. I'm probably the only guy that anybody knows that signed his autograph famously and infamously. Because when I made that case law in prison, the guys, they saw it before me, and it came out in a soft-covered book when I made the case law, and I freed a lot of guys from prison, you know. It was called the Pinkerton Liability Theory, but we'd have to go into that. But if anybody's curious about the case law I made, it's 853-853-FED-SUPPLEMENT, SUPP period, at 646. 8:53, Fed sub at 6:43. That's the case law I made. You can read all about it. Everything that happened, how they wanted to put me away for 38 years for lending money. We could go into this. But anyhow, I caught the government a year later presenting false evidence at my trial to convict me. That's right. You heard right. One of the few cases ever where they got caught presenting false evidence to convict me at my trial.
Wow.
And it made the cover of the Law Journal in September of 97.
Why did they do that, Charlie?
Because of a thing called they wanted my ass because of reputation. I never got found guilty of anything. I had some juvenile stuff, bullshit. But when they want you, they come and get you. You know, because you got these rats, these federal informants out there that will make you, you're nobody. They'll make you in Don Cheech kabooch. They'll make you out as Don Cheech kabooch. Yeah. and whatever the rat says is gospel. You understand? So that's how it works. But be it as it may, you know, I defended myself and they started, you know, to tell you a quick story. You know, we like to say it doesn't get any worse. I remember laying in MCC, Metropolitan Correction Center in Manhattan, and they were building the courthouse across the street, and we had a riot on our floor, so they locked us in for 2 days, and they were building this a courthouse, and they shut down the water. So you got to picture this now. You got a celly with you. We're both shitting in a toilet bowl for 2 days, and it's hot. It was those three hot days in 1994 in August that it was 96, 95. It was brutal in there. And I'm laying on the top bunk, and I says, Jesus, I just blew trial. I got 8 years for that. It don't get any worse. Should have never said that. Knock on the door. I got mail, Rigo. So my cellie downstairs in the bunk down below grabs it to me, gives me. I open it up. Another indictment facing another 25 years in another district. So I said, well, I'll never say that again. So when you say it gets worse, it could always get worse.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got hit with superseders. I got hit with all kinds of stupid shit because I made that case law at trial and they wanted to light me up and they almost succeeded, fellas.
Wow. Yeah, they don't play fair. I know that.
Well, guess what? That's why I'm a good boy today. Mind my business. I do what I got to do. I stay home. I got a lovely old lady, and I don't go nowhere. You know, every day now, I remember, Dave, you asked me, you said, well, how do your training go for this at your age, Charlie? I said, well, let me tell you, you need a lot of rest. You got to stay in the house. Don't go out. Don't party. No nothing. I mean, every day is Groundhog Day. You get up at a certain time. You train at a certain time. You eat at a certain time. So if it's at 10:30 at night, my friends know that I'm dental flossing. That's what.
Oh my God! You know, growing up in New York, in the 70s and 80s, you know, we were all privy to a guy on TV called Crazy Eddie with the electronics store, the lunatic.
Hey, wait a second! I got a great story about him. Wait.
What I'm going to ask you.
I met him in prison. I goofed on him. He was online serving the food at MCC. Somebody says, that's Crazy Eddie. I said, I'm going to break balls now. So I walked up and said, hey, you, come here. You Crazy Eddie? He says, I said, you owe me $20. I said, I brought back this friggin' 8-track recorder. You took my 8-track recorder and said, you never sent it back by mail to me. So we became friends then. And then when I was in prison up in Otisville, New York, he used to work in the Jewish, what do you call that, when they Jewish food, what do you call that Jewish food when they serve
kosher.
The
kosher.
Kosher. He worked in a kosher. He had part of the kitchen that was kosher. So I was washing windows then, you know what I mean, like outside, inside. So when you go somewhere, they lock you in, and then you ask to get out, and you can't get out. You know, unless there's a move on. But I could get out because I'm washing windows. I got to wash the outside of the window. So first, when I met him, I would go into there, and he'd have these tomatoes, and he'd have garlic and stuff like that he's preparing. I would steal it while I'm washing. And he would turn around and say, did you see any tomato? I said, I didn't see nothing. Because I was able to get out, not going to win the tell the guard, open the door, I got to go. And I would pass it off to somebody else, you understand, the stuff that I'd steal from him. But he was too afraid to say anything to me, so make a long story, realize it. And he says to me, I just got to ask you one thing, he says, where the hell do you put it? He said, I look to see where it is because you took so friggin' much stuff, but I can't see it on you. I was good out. Yeah, Crazy Eddie was a cool guy. He also had his case overturned. You know, he came back. He could have been. He stayed in Israel, and he had a lot of money. But his daughter was very seriously ill in New York, and he came back. He's really quite a man. He's a good guy. Very smart.
Wow. Were you ever in jail with John Gotti?
Yes. You know something funny? You say yes. I was back in '97 when I first came in. I was on his floor at MCC, and the guy was as amazing as he was. People were right about that. He was very, very smart, very, very intelligent. You know, he'd be at the end of the tier, and we'd sit at his table. And one story was funny because I had my friend and partner who knew him at the time, and I sat at the table, and they were talking, and he says to me, he says, "Where are you from?" I said, "The Bronx." He said, "The Bronx. Any number of punks in the Bronx." So I looked at him. So my friend, very smart man, kicked me under the table because I got a mouth. You know, nice. I would have came back. So he kicked me under the table to keep my mouth shut. And he ribbed the shit out. I was a big guy. But you know, I got back at him in a way by saying, "John, you want to train with me?" Because I used to do all these kinds of push-ups, all these kinds of chins, all these kinds of crazy shit. He used to look at me and say, "You're nutty. That's too much. You do too much." He said, "You kill yourself. You don't do that much." Of course, he thought he was, you know, did whatever he did. But he was a cool guy. I like John. But anyhow, when he found out I was from Bronx, rubbed me. Punks. I never ran across a tough guy from the Bronx in my life. They're all punks. In fact, even the faggot. He was a big, huge ball buster. This went on all day. This was time to lock in, and he come by my cell. He says, "Hey, Charlie." He says, "I was born on Allerton Avenue." That's in the Bronx.
In the Bronx.
John was a cool guy. Got all the mail. Once in a while, he used to say, "Come on, go in." And it's the best part. I was sitting in this cell with him, and he'd be laying across the bed, and I'd be on a little folding chair, and we'd all be almost like touching legs because the cells are small. And you see him all over the television. Like, I'm sitting there with this guy, and he's all over the television, and sneakily I look to the right, and there he is to the right of me, this guy. Very infamous man. But I would open up his mail, and he got one constant letter from this woman. She would say to him, "John, I know you're a very honorable man, and you have children. Do you know my daughter's husband beats her up? Do you think you could just send a couple of guys around the door?" All the mail that he used to get from women all over, what, the country? No, all over the world, pal. Believe me, this guy, he got duffel bags, sacks full of mail. But just to digress for a second, I want to give a shout-out to the armed forces, these brave, brave fellas who risk their lives overseas there, who are in the service for their country. They're a bunch of great, honorable guys. Ain't it great that we have such a bunch of fellas like this protecting us?
They're the real tough guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, John, you just said a mouthful. Those are the real tough guys. Everybody wants to be a tough guy. Tough guy. Just go, like my son, he wants to be a tough guy. Go join the service. You know something? I'm going to tell you something, fellas. No bullshit, because there's no bullshit radio. I went in, I was 17 at the time. I wanted to try and get my mother's permission to join. I went in when I was 17, and when I went in there, I had a real good build. And I was lifting weights for a while, but I had asthma. I was never a good athlete. And I went in there, I wanted to join, I wanted to see the world, I wanted to fight for our country in Vietnam. Guys are coming back telling great stories. Oh, I got to do this. So I went in there, and I wanted to join, and I went for the Navy. Well, you know what happened? Because I never went to school, because I only went up to sixth grade, I was a functional illiterate. So they one-wired me. Then I couldn't join.
Wow.
So then I went back when I got my, they used to send you a card, a draft notice card. I said, this is good. I said, nah, they got to draft me. I went by, took a test. I failed that test, too. So I really never made it because I was a friggin' illiterate. But I admire those fellas who do that. Like you say, Johnny, and I appreciate what you said. Those are the real tough guys, all these kids, and they're just wonderful. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to them.
Good. Very well said, Charlie. Let's talk about your Masters Pro World Championships in the 60 and over class. You won, that was your second Masters Pro World title, but the show I'm talking about is 2 weeks ago at the Atlantic City.
You won the 16 over. Vince Taylor won the 15 over. My question for you, Charlie, is how did it feel to stand up on stage with a guy you probably were reading about while you were sitting in the can?
You know, it is amazing. I didn't look at men's magazines in a can, Dave.
I know they didn't have any women's magazines. That's for sure.
You're wrong. No, I had women's magazines. Leave me alone. Don't go down that road, please. Listen to me. You know something? This guy is such a class act, this Vince Taylor. I don't know how he is to everybody else. It doesn't matter. The guy didn't know me from a hole in a wall, and I'm sure I didn't impress him, but he impressed me. He is such a gentleman. He is, like I said, class act, and it was my pleasure to meet that guy. Believe me.
Well, he is. He's an amazing guy.
And he started telling me stories about God, how he, it's off the wall stuff he was telling me that he won, and that he said, okay, we're going to UPS you your trophy. I don't know what the organization that was, but it wasn't this one or something. In fact, Dave, I happened to mention to you that they did it to this guy. But again, he is such a classy, a human being, and it was my pleasure. You know, the sport has classy guys in it, you know, but I'm not familiar with any of these classy bodybuilders. Like, I'll ask Dave or I'll ask Steve, I say, how is that guy? Is he a nice guy? Nah, the guy's an asshole. I don't know. you know, I'll get from somebody, he's a real gentleman, Charlie, class guy. I want to meet that guy. I want to see what he's all about. And most of the time, they're not full of themselves. Dave, you know I'm not full of myself. I'm not down that road. People say, yeah, this about me and that about me and this about me, you know. Yeah, okay, so what? If anything, I want to be inspiration to people. There's nothing that makes me different from anybody else. The only thing that makes me different is I'm willing to do what other people are not willing to do. I'm a grandfather, but I'm not going to sit with my grandchildren. I go out and I kill myself in that gym. I told you, fellas, it's a true labor of love. And the best example that I've ever seen of a true labor of love, and I've said it a few times, I said it in the trenches, is you take these old people that'll sit on a bench in a rocking chair, and it'll be 90 degrees out, the sun will be blazing, they're in the shade, and all of a sudden they get up and they go into a garden, and they'll start gardening, moving rocks, and digging dirt, and planting stuff for hours, sweating their ass off, and then go back on that rocking chair and feel like they're going to drop dead. But it's a labor, a true labor of love, just like weightlifters that are into it. If they're not so much into themselves and they just love the sport, a lot of times I'll be training. You've seen how I train, Dave, in my video,
oh, yeah.
How I train in the trenches. See what happens when you get old, fellas? See what happens when you get old? A senior moment. You witnessed it live on Bull Radio. I just caught a senior moment. I forgot what I was going to say.
Talking about the labor of love and working
labor
out.
Labor of love.
Yeah, it's just a true labor. Oh, and if a person is not full of themselves, I respect them even more. I just like to inspire people. That's all. The only difference is I'm willing to do what other men ain't willing to do at my age. That's the only difference. That's it.
Charlie, speaking of people who are full of themselves, I know I've seen you judge a few shows, and you're a guy on the inside. You know what's going on. I wanted to ask you what you thought of King Kamali's posing routine at the Atlantic City Pro.
Oh, don't go there. Oh, Jesus. Thong Man? Is that what his nickname now is? Now is Thong Man? I mean, this is, you know, I judge these shows, and I'm not going to say who I'm next to. I get sick when these guys start touching themselves. What are you going to say? They're in touch with their feminine side of them. They're touching their thighs. They rub their hands over their ass up there. What is that? And then the best part is they wave to the audience like, come on, applaud me. What? Wait a second. We're not here to perform for you. You're here to perform for us. Do something good and we'll applaud you. Jesus Christ. Not for nothing. Seriously, fellas. I mean, I've seen amateurs do that shit. They're not up there on the stage first time, and they're starting to wave their, come on, give me applause. That makes me sick. It turns my stomach. That touching themselves, and all of a sudden, I see, what is that shit? Excuse me. Well, I don't understand what that is. I mean, it's like the guys in the gym. You remember Eiffelman? What was it, George Eiffelman? You remember him, fellas?
He's an old-timer, yeah.
He's an old-timer.
I lived down in Vegas for a while. So he had a gym in Vegas, and I was with my friend Mo. And there was a guy on the bench going, "Rah, rah." Mo turns to me and says, "Charlie, watch this." Now I don't know what I'm looking for. All of a sudden, I see this little man run out of an office, jump on the bench of the guy. He says, "Hey, disconnect your vocal cords. We'll get the hell out of this gym right now."
But Charlie, why do you think this guy places so well?
You know, I don't know the sport that well, fellas. You know, you ask me questions, I really can't.
You're a judge.
You want to know something? I've never judged him, because if there's a place worse than last,
Okay.
And you know, Dave, I'm mad at you, and you did apologize because you brought it on being disrespectful. I told you. I said you spent 8 minutes on a guy, and you never talked about Vince Taylor. Never mind me, but Vince Taylor won something too. And I understand your limited time and the program, and I understood it. Then I understood once you said what happened. But, they do this stuff for you. Somebody prepared it, whatever it is, I don't know. But to spend all that time on that clown, that's a clown. You know what I mean? He's just full of himself. I don't know what he thinks he is. I don't know. I don't want to figure the guy out. I really don't even want to talk about the guys you guys got me. You know what I mean?
We're
that
done.
Guy was
We're
in the
done.
Gym, and yeah. I said, he was being one of the guys, I say, "You see what time it is?"
Yeah, this is when you train. Charlie, other than not training while you're in the gym, what other interesting rules of gym etiquette do you have?
You know, a lot of people, they just have absolutely no gym etiquette. I mean, you'll be doing a set, they walk right in front of you. Or they'll stand next to a mirror while you're in front of the weight rack. Or you're carrying weight, they won't move out of your way. I mean, it borders on stupidity. I mean, how are you raised? I mean, you know, it's nice to be a gentleman, be courteous in a gym. I mean, you see these people moaning and groaning, ain't handling any weight. They just want the attention, so you know what they're all about. But as far as gym etiquette goes, it's just all about being courteous. That's all.
A lot of non-courteous people in these gyms. You're right about that.
There's not enough gentlemen in the world is what it comes down to.
Johnny, that's another mouthful you said. You got a lot of good sayings there. It comes down to, you're right. It happens to come down to a lot of people are jerk-offs. I don't know if they don't have nobody guiding them or anything, but it's just it's nice to be a gentleman. That's all.
It is. It feels good.
Especially
Charlie,
when people,
we got our next guest holding, but you were, I can't even describe your appearance. I think the listeners are going to really enjoy everything you had to tell us. You've got quite a story. I'm hoping that John's going to be able to do an article, full-length article on you for the magazine, because you got a lot more to tell, I know that.
Are you guys paying me for that?
Didn't you ever hear MD doesn't pay anyone? We're cheap bastards.
See, how did I know that? But I just wanted to let the audience hear about MD. I can see, but you're cheap bastards.
We'll have them take up a collection.
Nah, I don't need no collections, please.
Yeah, that might get misconstrued as something it's not.
I'm old enough to steal now. I don't need no collections.
Well, Charlie, thank you very much for stopping by, and we'll hope to get to see you at an upcoming show in New York, probably a little later in the year.
All right, fellas. You've been really nice. Thank you very much. And to your audience, thank you for being patient with me. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Charlie, John. Thank you very much.
Well, John, he's one of a kind, that's for sure.
Awesome guest. You know, it, when you see a guy that's, his age, I should say, it gives us hope. I mean, I always wonder, how we've been training all our lives, what we're going to look like when we're in our 60s, 70s, whatever. There's not too many guys we have to look to. Jack O'Lane pushes the extreme end in the 90s, but when you see a guy like Charlie Arms walking around at 65 years old with 21-inch arms, I mean, it gives you hope,
The guy's incredible. He's one of a kind, really.
He really is. And it's a nice, nice guy, a true gentleman.
Yeah.
I really like that guy.
Well, let's get to our next guest because she's been holding and very patient. I always say, how can we do an Olympia preview show without the Muscle Mob's very close friend, the sexiest female bodybuilder in the industry, the one and only, the lovely
Diana Cadeau.
Yeah.
Hello, guys.
What's up, Diana?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. We promised to have you on the show, and we lived up to our obligation. But right now, you actually hold the record for the most appearances on Noble Radio for any female bodybuilder, or actually any female guest for that matter. How does that feel?
Wow, I'm impressed.
How's the Olympia preparation going?
Oh, very, very good. I'm very positive. I'm very confident. So I'm prepared mentally and physically. And my fans and everybody going to see that it's a completely different Diana. I know that every year I bring different packages, but this time I have the right formula, and I'm ready to take the title this year.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
For sure?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, how many hours of cardio are you doing this year?
Well, actually this year, because I've been, well, like everybody going to know and knows now, I start training with Oscar Arden, Kai's coach. So what we did, we just put our ideas together. I always been by myself, doing everything by myself for all those years, like you guys know. But I team up with Oscar because I like his ideas, and we think alike. And putting our ideas together, we thought it would be great so I can bring the best package ever to win the show. So, of course, I had to learn to train, you know, more tense, because my concern was about my mass, because I gain mass really easily. I don't get... it's not difficult for me to lose fat because, you know, it's easy. Soon that I start dieting and do what I have to do, I change really fast. But the thing is the mass. So if I wanted to be exactly perfect, the package that I want, I had to increase. I always do that, increase my cardio. And this year I'm doing 4 hours cardio a day.
What, 4?
Yes, I do 1 hour empty stomach at home. And then I go to the gym, train my client, and I do 2 hours in the afternoon. Then I do 1 hour before I go to bed.
Wow, that takes dedication. I wonder why you sound like you're tired.
I do sound tired, but I still have energy. Trust me, everything's there.
So now you feel that you're able to defeat Iris Kyle, Yaxani Oroquin. What about the newcomer, relative newcomer, Heather Armbrust? Can you beat her?
She's a good athlete. I mean, she's a beginner, and she still has some experience to gain. So, and regarding Iris and Yaxini, so many times, I mean, Yaxini, I beat her a couple of times, and Iris, I didn't beat her yet, but it was a matter of time and timing. And the problem was every time that, okay, I will at this close to win, something will happen during the day. I will get tired, or I will have the bad timing, and then the final, my body will change, but it's not going to happen this time. So, because with the package that I have, and Iris, she's an amazing athlete, and she's always come up in the top ever. So what I have to do, I have to be behind this. So I did my homework, and Oscar and I, we did a good job. So I'm ready for her.
You bring up Oscar, Kai's trainer. You guys broke up. Is that true, you and Kai?
Yes, we did broke up, and I'm ready, you know, to mention it.
What happened?
That everybody, excuse me?
What happened?
Well, I guess we were not, let's see, probably in the same page, because I thought we had a dream together. We did promise each other certain thing, and I'm much older, more mature, and I got more experience than Kai. So maybe there's sort of thing that he wasn't ready for, so he just took off and never heard from Kai. So It was extremely hard for me. Actually, I was very, very depressed. I was afraid that it will mess up, you know, something. But I had to remember that I'm a high-class athlete, and I work hard to be where I'm at, and I can't let nobody, not even Kai Greene, to, you know, screw up anything. So I have to come back on top of my game, and with the help of Oscar, Oscar was there as a friend. Actually, I thank, you know, I thank God and I thank Kai that I met Oscar, because it was, he was a very good friend, a very good supporter and confident to me, so I can go into this.
Diana, what happened? He just didn't tell you that he didn't want to date you anymore? He start dating someone else?
Yes, I didn't know that we're going to break up. We had a fight like anybody else. I mean, anybody had any fight in a relationship, you know? Things like that happen, but Kai just didn't want to communicate or anything. So his behavior, that's why I was devastated, because I didn't know he will react like that. So, and I find out by other people that it was over, and I find out he had somebody else. But you know what? The more important thing now is just I'm in the top of my game, and I move on, and I'm a strong person, because what doesn't kill you makes you more stronger. And I forgive him. Until now, he's avoiding me. Never heard from him. But if I see him, I'm going to be more than happy to see him. And I wish him all the best, like me, to succeed, because he's an amazing athlete. And that's all I can say. And life goes on.
What about the famous tattoo you have in your private region? Now you can tell us what the tattoo is of, right?
Yeah.
What exactly was it?
The tattoo, it's Kai's name that I put. It's below my bikini line. The reason I had this tattoo, it was because to secure him, to show him that I'm his woman, that we are together. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And Kai actually knew about the tattoo. Even he did deny it on the radio. And I understand him, and I'm not going to make a big deal about that. So, of course, this tattoo will be gone when I'm done with the show. But I don't regret, you know, everything I did, and I don't regret. My only crime was I loved this man with all my heart, because I was by myself for a while, and I opened my heart to him. And I thank God that, you know, he came in my life, because I learned that Diana can love again. And I'm not going to give up on love. I mean, I'm not in a rush right now, but I'm not going to give up, and it's not this thing happened that I'm going to let myself go.
But, you know, Greg Valentino has a great dating service, and it works really. He got me an awesome girlfriend.
Really? Well, good for you, but not for me. So no.
You know, hold on, Judd. I
want to know what the tattoo is of. We still haven't determined.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
Pardon me?
It's his name, she said.
Oh, it's his name?
Yeah, it said Kai Greene. That's his name.
Kai Greene right below your bikini line.
Yeah, below my bikini line. Mm-hmm.
Now, see, the problem with this is, John, as soon as you tattoo someone's name on your body, it's like the kiss of death for the relationship.
Happens every time. Ask Tommy Lee.
Well,
it happens every time.
I always thought that, you know, people were doing that. I said, oh, my God, what are those people thinking? But you know what? When you really love somebody, and your heart, you know, love somebody, you just follow your heart, and you know, you can't, there's nothing you can do about that. Also, when you trust that person, and that person promised you this and that and promise you that, you know, things like that won't happen, and you believe in that person. So you do, sometimes you will do foolish things. You'll do stupid things, but it's not something that you should regret because you were in love. That's all.
No, I agree with that, you know, and, you know, let's face it, you know, you're available now. So if any guys out there are listening to the show and...
No. No.
You don't want us to find you a date then, huh?
No, thank you.
Are you off men for a little while?
I'm going to have the right person for me, but I don't want anybody calling me for a date. Thank you.
What about you? We can find you a woman if you want.
No, I love men. Sorry.
Okay.
Just two women?
Pardon me?
Two women?
She heard what I said.
Yeah, but I've heard from reliable sources that two women trumps one guy.
Oh, okay. I think it's your fantasy, right?
That's your fantasy, John, not ours.
I've been fortunate in my life to have handled all of my fantasies. I'm just trying to help Diana here in her time of need.
No, I don't need any help. I will be just fine, John. You know me.
I know you.
Diana, we're out of time here, but so right before we go, give us your top five prediction for the Miss Olympia title.
Well, me, Aris Yaxini, Heather, how many I said? Four?
One more, Amy.
And Lisa Oakland.
All right. I'll tell you, what about the men's show?
I will say, well, what I saw that Jay was pretty in shape. If he come up exactly the way he was, well, he should win for sure. And I say Dennis Wolf is a gorgeous, handsome man with beautiful muscle. He's tall, tiny waist, and he did improve.
He's married.
And I see Dexter, and fourth, Phil Eat, and fifth, maybe Marvin Anthony or Silvio.
All right.
That's a safe bet.
There you go. That's what John thought. Well, we're going to be there. We're going to be rooting you on, and hopefully I'll be interviewing you after the show when you win.
You will, trust me. This time you will.
You're going to get the Palumbo Romano sandwich.
Then
we'll take you out to the party. You going to come to our party at Privé, I should say?
I don't know. I'm not a party girl. Like you see, guys, you never saw me on those parties.
Come on, Friday night. We got the MD party. You got to come with us.
Maybe. Is Kai going to be there? And I'm teasing you guys.
Nah, Kai won't be there. He'll be somewhere.
Be there? Come on.
No. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. But it doesn't matter if he will be there or not. I'm not afraid to talk.
We're inviting you, not him.
Pardon me?
We're inviting you, not him.
Well, I probably going to be there. Thank you guys for your invitation.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get you a date with Derek Anthony.
Oh, man. Oh, hell no.
You guys can trade war stories.
Thank you.
He just doesn't like me at all.
Something like that.
All right, we got to go.
We're running out of time here. Thanks for stopping by, and we will see you Thursday.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Diana.
Bye-bye.
John, we're at the end of another two-hour episode. I'd like to thank our guests, Charlie Arms, Sean Ray, and, of course, Diana Cadeau for stopping by. Until next week, we're the Muscle Mob. You can get in, but you can't get out. Good night, everyone.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to No Bull Radio. To download this and all past shows, visit MuscularDevelopment.com and click on the No Bull Radio link. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with the Muscle Mob with Dave Palumbo and John Romano. Only on No Bull Radio.